Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians. We're breaking away from our Isaiah study. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as many of you probably already know, this is the passage on spiritual gifts and giftings that Paul writes to this tiny church in Corinth in the first century. It's found on page 160 of your pew Bibles, your red pew Bibles, if you want to join along. I'll be bouncing around a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 4. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of these tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then moving on down to verse 24. But God has so composed the body, giving a greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. In this letter, Paul is doing a lot of things. This church in Corinth is quite a hodgepodge. It's found on the isthmus between the northern part of what is today Greece and the southern part of Greece. And there was a lot of commerce that went through Corinth. There were a lot of different people that lived there. A lot of slaves that were freed fled to Corinth to start a new life over. So you had extreme poverty and you had extreme wealth there because of the commerce. And in the midst of this international, busy Corinth city, Paul had visited and planted a church some years ago, and he's writing back to his church because things are going on there, things that aren't real healthy. Some unhealthy teaching has seeped in, and some actions that aren't really great. And Paul is writing to them, and in this chapter especially, he's saying, you guys, remember who you are, and remember what you're a part of. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're not out there on that isthmus alone. There are others of us, these other house churches that are all over what is today Turkey and mostly Macedonia and Greece and Italy. You're a part of this body. And all of us together, we need to hold each other up. We need to encourage each other because together we are the body of Christ and we are building and growing the kingdom of God. The ministry of Christ has been left to us, these churches. So don't forget who you are. Don't forget the gifts that God has given you. And don't forget that those gifts were given to you for building each other up and for building up the common good of the believers all over the world. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget the special calling upon you. To each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And you got to take that seriously. We can't be messing around. We can't be forgetting that. There's a lot of important stuff that needs to be done, and God has left it to us. And each one of us has been given gifts. Each group of us has been gifted to be part of this body of Christ. Today, we find ourselves in a very similar situation. Churches, our church, First Presbyterian Church of Newhall, is a church that's been around for a little over 100 years. We are at work, hopefully, doing the work, the ministry of Jesus Christ, continuing the work of Christ here in our community. But we're not alone. We have each other, and we also have the other churches around us. Most specifically, we are a Presbyterian church. I don't think that means a whole lot to God, but it helps for us organizing and keeping things together. And we are a part of a presbytery called the San Fernando Presbytery. There are 30-some churches in that presbytery. And we all, hopefully, encourage each other and work together also. We are, our presbytery, the nucleus is found at the Panorama City Presbyterian Church, which is down in the San Fernando Valley. That's where our presbytery meets. And I am on a committee that is part of that presbytery. As a minister, I'm on a presbytery committee. And my job on this committee is to, with the other members of my committee, communicate the vision of our presbytery to the churches of our presbytery so that we might be one. so that we might be unified and focused in what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. So this sermon comes to you from Presbytery, but it also comes to you from me as one of your pastors. And I want this to be a challenge to those of us here at First Presbyterian Church of Newhall, as Paul challenged this group of new believers, this new church in Corinth. So I challenge you today. Who are we? How have we been gifted, not just as individuals, although I believe God has gifted each one of us as individuals, but who are we as a church? Who are we here at First Pres Newhall, and what vital part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, what vital part of the body of Christ are we? We're not Hills, and we're not Westlake Village. We're not Acton. We're First Pres Newhall. And we are part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is called to be dynamic and creative. We are the ones. This is it. We're the ones who have been left with this job of continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ, of healing, of reconciliation, of spreading the good news of Jesus, that others might find hope and forgiveness and love. This is it. It's us. How has God called us to work? We're doing a lot of things at this church. We're doing a lot of great things at this church. A lot of neat ministries have happened here, and this is a wonderful church to be a part of. But what more could we be doing? What are we missing? What's right before our eyes? What are gifts that we have that we're not using? How can we be a more vital and creative part of the body of Jesus Christ? The Presbytery has put together they've been working on this new mission statement for the last couple of years, and they came out and they kind of narrowed it down to one sentence, and that is, every church in our presbytery is a mission center. Every church, a mission center. It used to be kind of in the olden days, 50 years ago or so in Presbyterian churches, that the presbytery made a lot of the major decisions and kind of let things be known to the individual churches and then carried out the mission of the presbytery. Well, we realize that doesn't really work anymore, especially in a community like ours. If you do the demographics, you can figure that the San Fernando Presbytery is probably one of the more diverse, socioeconomically as well as culturally, presbyteries, groups of churches in the world. And so you can't have one church or one group in Panorama City telling folks in Westlake Village or in Granada Hills or Acton what their ministry should be. Every church needs to be a ministry center. Every church needs to be a mission center. And this is the same call that Paul had to the church of Corinth. What are your guys' giftings? What are you doing? Don't forget the individual unique ways God has gifted you as individuals and you as a community here. And what are you doing to grow those gifts? What are you doing to be creative in using those giftings and those callings for the glory of God, for the building up of each other and the building up of the kingdom of God? What is God calling us to here in the Santa Clarita Valley? We can tend to take on somewhat of a passive posture, especially in these summer months, at church, and kind of sit back, and we tend to, one of the failings of our ecclesiastical polity system is we tend to work really hard at hiring good pastors or workers, and then sometimes we sit back and we really just want them to get things done. And I'm not trying to, I've got a great job, I love what I do here. But each one of us needs to realize that's not, when Christ called all, when the churches were initially established, each one, right, what does it say in Revelation, which one of us is a priest? All of us are priests. Each one of us are priests. Each one of us should be involved in the ministry of the church, in doing the things, in using the gifts, the callings that God has given you to establish and move forward the kingdom of God. And we need to think that way. We need to wake up in the morning and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a priest of God. I'm a minister of God. And what am I doing in my life? What am I doing with the giftings and the callings that God has given me to advance the kingdom of God today? It might not be verbal. It could be through actions. It could be through attitudes. Could be a number of things, but that's not just my job. That's not just Randy's job. That's not just the job of the professional clergy. That's our job. That's the calling to all of us. And we need to take that seriously. What I would like you to do today, I want this to be an interactive time, is there are pieces of paper in front of you. Some of them are prayer concern cards. Some of them can be new member things. You can rip out one of the things from the black book there. And I want you to have a pencil in your hand and just think, as things come across your head today, about gifts that you have, ideas that you've had, thoughts that you've had, about ways that this church could be a little bit different, or ways that it could minister better to the Santa Clarita Valley as the body of Christ. I'd like you to jot them down And then as the ushers come forward, along with our tithes and offerings, I'd like you to throw those ideas in there. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But we need to think that way, that your ideas, my ideas, are important. This is where ministry starts. Each one of you is a mission center. Together we form this mission center of the First Presbyterian Church of Newhall. The ideas don't come floating in from someplace else. The ideas don't come from the guys in the black dresses. The ideas come from here. The ministry happens here. The creativity is here within the body of Christ. So I want you to think about this. Take me seriously on this. Idea that comes across, that something you've thought of for a while, something that hits you today, scratch a note on it, stick it in the box maybe, you or stick it in the place that comes by if you want to call later on in the week and specify more what it means. I'll make sure those different notes get into the hands of the different committee members who would handle such things. They might call you. You might want to put your phone number on there so they could call you and get some more ideas about what you're talking about. But think dynamically. Think creatively. Think actively this morning, okay? You with me? All right. So when we think about the call of God on us as a church, when we think about the call of God on ourselves as individuals, oftentimes the first thing that comes to mind, what is God calling me to? What is God calling me to? What is God's call on my life? Oftentimes our initial response is, okay, what is it that I would hate to do? What is it that I'm scared of doing? And what is it that overwhelms me? That must be what God is calling me to do. Right? I mean, did anybody confess to that? I know that's where I've been. There was I remember a church that I was in college. I just, we had this missions week, and there was this song that they played, and a lot of us learned. They kept playing it over and over again. Like, it was so corny, but it went like this. Please don't send me to Africa. I know I don't got what it takes. I'm just a man, I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes. I like it here in suburbia with my beautiful middle-class wife, I think. So please don't send me to Africa where the natives are restless at night. And, I mean, everyone is singing this like, yeah, you know, thank you. But it's this idea that it's the place that you're the most scared of, the place you don't want to go. That's where God's going to call me, so I don't want to even think about it. I don't want to go there. I'll do what's comfortable. I like it in suburbia. I'm not going to Africa, so I'm not going to ask God what to do because God's going to call me to Africa. I think this is so wrong. I just don't know why we have such an inherent view of a God that's out to get us and a God that's out to make us do things we don't want to do. I don't know. I mean, of course there are things, like any parental relationship, where you encourage your kids to do things. Your kids maybe necessarily don't want to play piano, but you encourage them that way. But you don't break their knuckles. You don't torture them. You encourage kids different ways to do things. God encourages us to do things that might be outside of our comfort zone, but God doesn't do it, you know, gleefully because he likes to torture us or make us do things we don't like to do. God loves us. And God has gifted us. And guess what? I'm getting ahead of myself. The things that you love to do, the things that you're gifted in, guess who gave you those loves and those gifts? God. And he gave them to you for a reason. First of all, when we try to decide what God's call on our life is, what God's gifts he has given us and what he wants us to do, it's not scary. Jeremiah 29:11 convinces us of God's plans for us. This is a great passage if you don't know it. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. He's speaking to his people of Israel who have been torn here and there and exiled, and says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, my children, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for your evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord." Plans to prosper you, to give you hope. God's got a good future for us. If God wants to send us to Africa, it's because it's the best thing that's for us, and he'll give us a love for it and a desire for it, and it'll be great. God's not going to send us places we're not gifted to, places we're super scared of. He's going to gift us and show us our giftings and enable us and send us into wonderful ministries that are going to fulfill us and make us feel whole and wonderful. That's the kind of God we have. God does not want to scare us. Seeking out the will of God is not scary. Don't think that you don't want to pray to find the will of God in your life because you know you're going to find something you don't want to do or a place you don't want to go. You know, I've heard people say that too. They say, I better not say that I never want to live in Texas because I know God will send me there if I say that, right? Have you heard that one before? Or whatever. I mean, Texas is a great state. Sorry. I'm Texas. But we need to clear that idea from our minds. God is not out to send us to places we don't want to go. God is not out to bring a will, His will into our lives. It's going to completely go against who we are and what we desire and what we believe in. Also, the will of God is not something that is usually very hidden at all. Sometimes that's the way we view is we've got to search all the time. We've got to look. What is the will of God for my life? We wake up in the morning. God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to talk to? Where should I park? Where should I go? Lord, what is your will? I want to follow your will. I want to be good disciple, and I want to follow your will for me. And every decision I make, I want to follow the will of God. And sometimes we can get so focused on that. I want to follow the will of God. I want to do the will of God that we become paralyzed. Because we don't know what the will of God is, and we don't want to make the wrong choice, and we don't want to do the wrong thing, and so we don't do anything. Or we think we might have made a wrong choice, and so the whole time we're worrying that we made a wrong choice. And it's this idea, once again, that the will of God is some hidden thing out there that we've really got to find, and we've really got to look super, super hard for, and we're probably not on it, but we've got to find it somehow. God is not a scary God that wants to give us a hard time and send us a place where we would hate. God is not a God that's hidden. God's not a God that would send his children out into a place and not give them directions and signs as to where to go. We can find the will of God. There's a great story that I read recently in a book about an encounter between a woman and a sage. This woman was a Christian, and she has this interaction with this character called Sage, who is wisdom, who is the Holy Spirit. And she decides that she and the sage are going to go out into the woods and just take a walk. They need to get away from it all. And they find this beautiful hike in the woods, and there's a waterfall they know back in there. And that's where they want to go. They're going to hike along and enjoy each other's company and hike to the waterfall. Well, they're hiking along, having a great time, beautiful trees, wonderful fresh breeze, lovely day, hearing the bird song, and they get to a point, and there's three paths. One, two, three. Well, she turns to the sage and says, what path do we take? What path goes to the waterfall? And the sage says, I don't know, it beats me. What do you think? Well, you're the sage. Let's see. Let's look around here a little bit. There's, I don't see any signs. I don't see any posts. Doesn't see any marks. Kind of walk down this path a little bit, look around, and then walk down this path a little bit, and walk down this path, come back. I don't see any markings. There's no indication. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which one leads to the waterfall. Well, the sage says this, says, if you choose one, say you just chose one, take that one, and just head that way, would you be able to enjoy your walk? And the woman says, no, not at all, because I'd be worried that I chose the wrong one. I'd be looking around, I'd be kind of looking back all the time, and heading forward, and going a little bit slow, and looking everywhere, and I would, you know, I'd keep moving ahead, hopefully, but I wouldn't enjoy my walk at all. The sage says, that's interesting. Well, what about if it didn't matter? What if you could just go on any one of them? Which one of these would you pick? Which path? And she looked. She said, well, I'd choose that one. It's kind of got a bit of an incline. I think it looks really pretty up there. And I just like the way the sun is coming through the trees. And I think that looks really pretty. I'd like to walk up that one. So, well, if it didn't matter and you were able just to walk on that path, would you enjoy it? Oh, yeah, that would be great. I'd walk along. It'd be beautiful. The sage says, huh? Well, sage says, this ranger, the ranger that has marked these paths, marked them all back there, right? When we started off, said waterfall this way, said the miles and how long and everything we need to... Yeah, right. We don't see any marks here, right? No, I don't see any marks. Well, that tells me that probably all three of them lead to the waterfall. Because the ranger would have marked it, right, if there wasn't. So I think we should just choose one and go for it and believe that all of them go to the waterfall. He says, yeah, that's a good point. So she heads off down the path, enjoys her way, and sure enough, somewhere down the line, she runs into the waterfall. And then the author backs up and says, you know, this is oftentimes what discerning the will of God in our lives is like. We come to this fork in the road, this path, and we spend so much time worrying, what are we going to do? Which path should we take? And we do the right things. We search for the markings. That's good. And we look for the signs that the ranger has left, right, the almighty ranger. And we look, and seeing none, sometimes we're paralyzed. We don't know what to do. I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. So I'll either do nothing, or the one that I do choose, I'm going to be hesitant along the whole time because I'm not sure I made the right choice. If we do the right things, if we live in community like this, and we come to a fork in the road, and we look around for paths, we check the inner signs, we check the outer signs, seems like we could take any one. Then, you know what? You probably can take any one. And we have the kind of God that gives us those kind of choices in lives, gives us those different paths, because He knows the world different, and He wants us to choose the one that's going to bring us the most joy. He wants us to take the path that we're going to enjoy the most. And if we were just stuck on one path, with no choices, no options for exits, that'd get a little bit boring, a little bit monotonous after a while. But our God is a God who gives us many choices. He says, I'm going to be with you. And as long as you check the signs occasionally, I'll let you know when you need to go certain ways. You don't need to worry so much about that. I'm a good father. I'll let you know if you need to head down that path or this path. Just enjoy yourself. Go on. What path would you like? And head that way. I met a kid when I was up at camp a couple weeks ago. His name was Austin. He's a senior high. He's a freshman actually in college, and he was a counselor helping out. And I got into a talk with him, and he was a great kid. And he was I asked him where he was. He was at UCLA. He was studying pre-med kind of stuff. And I said, so you'd love to be a doctor? And he goes, yeah, I love working with kids, and I really love science and medicine, and I think it'd be really fun to be a pediatrician, to go into pediatric medicine. This stuff. I said, wow, that sounds great. Good for you. He said, yeah, but I don't know what God's will for my life is. You know, God might have something totally else in mind. And I said, wait a minute, Austin. You love kids. You love science. You enjoy what you're doing in school right now. Could that not be what God is telling you? Be a pediatrician. Praise the Lord. We can make it so complicated. See, I love doing this, and I'm really good at this, and I enjoy this, and I'm talented at this, and I've got the education for this, and that, but I have no idea what God wants me to do in my life. Well, who gave you those talents? Who gave you those desires? Who gave you those gifts? A God of love, a Father in heaven that's cheering you on. Enjoy it, children. Love the walk. Choose the path that you're going to love, and I'll be with you. Because it's no good walking down a path when you're going hesitantly and you're always looking back and you're wondering all the time. You don't enjoy it, no one else enjoys you. Choose a path that you can skip down, that you can run down, that you can enjoy yourself with, and believe that when you need to take a different course, that our God of love will provide you with some guidance, will speak to you. Now, yeah, you need to tune your ears up a little bit. You need to hear. You need to be willing to listen. I'm not saying that we just, throw everything in the wind. You need to take some precaution. You need to be a part of a community like this. A community like this helps us to have many, many ears and many, many eyes. We allow other people into our lives, ask them questions about what's going on. People say, yeah, that sounds great. Go for it. All right, good. There's some confirmation. I'm going to do this thing then. And until God sends a block in my way, until God sends a nail person the other way, I'm going to serve the Lord doing the things that I'm gifted at, that I enjoy, that's fun, and that's right before me. The other thing that sometimes we miss is when we look for a ministry of the Lord in our life or something. We can think about going to Africa. We can think about doing something somewhere in the city of Los Angeles. These things would be great. If you're called to be a missionary overseas, do it. It's the most joyful, wonderful, fulfilling experience you'll ever have in your life. And you won't be fulfilled until you do it. If you're called to work in inner city LA or Wichita or whatever, go do that. That's what the Lord's calling you to do. That's great. But don't overlook the things that are right in front of your face. There are a number of churches in our presbytery, and this idea of every church a mission center has kind of been out there for a little bit, and churches have been encouraged to think this way. Let me give you some examples of some things that some other churches in our presbytery are doing. Grandview Church. Grandview is a church in Glendale, sometimes called the other church in Glendale, because Glendale Pres there is so big, and Grandview has kind of been getting smaller a little bit. But Grandview Church in Glendale is a really great church, has some wonderful people, and their pastor really challenged them. He said this to them a couple months ago. He says, what is it that your members can do, that we, the members of this church can do, that no one around us is doing? To reach our community for Jesus Christ, to be the body of Christ, to expand the kingdom of God here. You see, he went on to say, many churches have contemporary worship services, others are majoring in ministries to teens, to young adults, but what did our church do uniquely? Because of who we are, because of where we are. They took some time, they looked around, and it didn't take too long to realize that Glendale Church is located right across the street from Thomas Jefferson Elementary School. Grandview Church now ministers to 100 neighborhood children in its after-school program on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It goes on all the wonderful things they're doing there. What's right in your neighborhood? There was a church some of you are from, and not too long ago, in Van Nuys, that had to close its doors because of declining membership, and it just wasn't happening there. And the Presbyterian members of the church said, hey, wait a minute. Look at the community around us. It used to be that this part of Van Nuys was 99% white, and that's who we all are. And now, you know, this area where our church is 80% Latino. What if we started a Latino church right here? Right in front of our doors. Here's what's happening right around us. Why don't we just open our doors and let it in? And they did. And not that long ago, Roca de Salvacion celebrated their third year as a church on its own. And they're doing great, doing wonderful things there. Different churches in our presbytery are doing these things. What's right in front of you? What's a joy, a gift, a call that you have? What is a call, a unique gift that this church has, First Press New Hall? I mean, it's kind of weird. We're here, you know, Old Town New Hall's right here. We've got $500,000 homes over here. We've got, you know, $500 a month rent right over here. We've got East New Hall right over here. We've got a high school, junior high, elementary school right down the street. We're in a pretty dynamic place. What is God calling us to do right here? We're not here by coincidence. The Spirit of God wants to use us. What can we be doing that we're not doing? What's right in front of our eyes? What's a joy, what's a gift that we have as a church that we can be doing, that we can be using? Now, realize that this church that we're a part of, this just because we have a great idea doesn't necessarily mean that's what this church is going to take on as its new mantra. Individual ideas, as I said earlier, usually if you want to, we've got eight different committees at our church. And these committees cover a number of things. If you have ideas about our building, how our building could be used differently, we have a building and ground committee. We have a Christian education committee that takes care of most of our youth and programs. We've got an adult ministries committee that takes care of adult concerns, Sunday school, things like that. We've got a worship committee that deals with how our worship looks, first and second service. We've got a Hispanic committee that deals with our outreach to our Latino neighbors, and a number of others. You can be a part of one of those committees. Elders chair those committees, but you can just show up at those committees. Personnel, I think, is closed. Personnel committee is closed. But all the rest of them are open. You can come. If you've got a great idea, come and sit down. An elder would love that. Oftentimes, many of our committee meetings are wondering where everyone is, and it's just the elder and maybe one other person sitting there. This church is structured in such a way that we, the people, are the ministers. We, the people, are the mission centers that come up with the ideas, that go to the committees, that kick them around for a while, go to session, and we say, hey, that sounds great. Let's put some money and time and energy towards that, and we got a new ministry. That's how it works. That's how we can work here. We, like the first century church in Corinth, we are gifted in many ways. We are in a diverse place here, just like Corinth was. And we are the body of Christ. Are we an elbow? Are we a toe? Are we an eye? What are we? What are you? How does God want to use you? Because if we're not doing our thing, someone else is going to have to. We might as well do it. We're here. How is the Lord calling us? This being a part of the body of Christ is a beautiful, beautiful thing and a very high calling to take very seriously. So what will it be for us? How do we do our part? How do we encourage others to do their part and be a part of this body of Christ? What do we need from each other, from our church, from presbytery, to continue the work of Christ here in the Santa Clarita Valley? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that to each, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Our presbytery has made up a saying that every church is a mission center. Same way to say that ministry happens here in the body for the edification of the greater body, for the common good, for the glory of God, for the continuation of the kingdom of God. What is right here before us? What ministry opportunities are right in front of our eyes? What gifts do we have as individuals and as a community? What personality do we bring to the ministry? What are we good at? What do we enjoy? What is God's will for us as this community? in Newhall. The Lord, as Jeremiah has reminded us, has wonderful plans.